Hey, welcome everyone to Midcurrent Church Online. My name is Sten and I'm the pastor here, and from all of us at Midcurrent Church, let me just say how thrilled we are to have you be joining us for Church Online today. It is so good for us to be together here today. My wife Erica and I have been reminiscing lately that it was just 3 years ago this spring that we decided to step over the church planting starting line. It was just about 3 years ago that we decided we wanted to lead a team full of Jesus followers to start a brand new church. And when we took that step, we knew that there was no going back. I mean, that there was no backup plan, there was no plan B, and there was nothing in place for us to fall back onto. And so it was a big step for us to take. And truthfully, it was only one of a few different steps that we could have taken at the time. And so we were praying hard because we wanted to know how and where God was leading us in all of this. See, at that point in my ministry, I had primarily been a worship pastor. And so one option in front of me was to keep strumming my guitar and to keep doing what I had been doing for so long. And I probably could have done it well and done it for some time into the future. And there were moments when that was really, really appealing. Like, yeah, I got this in the bag. Let me just keep, you know, riding this train as long as I can, right? But I did have this sense that actually God was calling me to something more, right? To step out from behind the guitar that I had been strumming for so long. And so another option in front of me was to stay where I was and to take on new responsibility and some, you know, greater levels of leadership. And there was some, appeal to that option. Another option was to join some other ministries, which I was familiar with, to begin a new season of leadership. And there were some things that were really exciting about that. And then there was this other option that kept hanging around that I couldn't seem to kick, and that option was planting a church. And truthfully, I'm just going to be honest with you here, that was the least appealing option of all the options in front of me, because I knew that it was the hardest, most challenging, most humbling, no guarantees option of all the options in front of me. And on top of that, Erica and I knew a handful of other church plants led by some phenomenal pastors that just were not successful. And so the church planting option didn't have a ton of promise or certainty, and therefore didn't have a ton of appeal early on as well. Nonetheless, we had a deep sense that something was next for us. And if you haven't connected all the dots by now, we chose the church planting option. We chose this lead a team of people to open the doors of a brand new church option. And the thing that helped me make that decision, and if I had time, I'd tell you all about it, because I remember when it was and where I was, okay? The thing that helped me to make that decision was this strong sense that came over me in the fall of 2016. It was September 2016, to be exact. It was this strong sense that came over me that my next step needed to be less about what God could do through me and more about what God could do in me. Okay, I knew that it needed to be less about what God could do through me and more about what God could do in me. And what I believed that God wanted to do in me was to develop a deeper faith in me. I believe that God wanted my faith in him, not in me, because if I'm being honest, it was my faith in me and my confidence in me that had got me to that point. And so I believe that God wanted my faith in him to grow. I believe that it was in my faith in him that he wanted to increase as a result of the next step that I was going to take. And friends, what I want to say to you is that I think God wants the same thing for you. God wants your faith in him to grow and to increase, with each new step that you take in this life, which is why there is a question that I think all of us has to ask ourselves. All of us have to ask ourselves when we're trying to follow or to discover or discern God's leading in our life. And that question is this: does this take faith to believe? This is actually the last of four questions that I have encouraged all of us to be asking in our current message series, God is that you, right? The whole series was designed to help us hear God's voice and follow God's leading more in our life. And there were four questions that I suggested might help us to do just that. So here's a review of those four questions. Number one, is this consistent with Scripture? Number two, is this affirmed in community? Number three, is this life-giving? And number four, does this take faith to believe? This is what I want to talk about today. Right? Does this thing that I'm hearing or feeling, right? Does it take faith to believe? Does this step that I'm about to take or this decision that I'm about to make, does it take faith to believe? In other words, is this going to cause my faith and my trust in God and my dependence on Him to grow? And if the answer is yes, there's a good chance that might be where God is leading, because God wants our faith in Him and what He can do to grow, right? Not faith in ourselves, in what we can do. He wants our faith in Him to grow. So God will always be pushing us in the directions and nudging us to take the steps that will allow our faith muscles to increase and to stretch and to grow. And there's a hero in the Old Testament who learned this lesson the hard way, or maybe I should just say he learned this lesson in a pretty profound way. See, God had created an opportunity for him to flex his own faith muscles, to put his faith to the test, and it paid off big time. And as a result, we learn a really great lesson about how it is and where it is that God leads us and where it is that he doesn't. And so I want to read from that story today. It's a story from the Old Testament about a guy named Gideon. And Gideon was given, a seemingly impossible assignment by God that only got harder, more impossible as time went on. But as the assignment got harder, Gideon's faith in God had the opportunity to grow larger. And so Gideon's story is told in the book of Judges. It's a book that records the history of God's people during a time when they were ruled by judges. And this was also a period of time when God's people were typically described one of two ways from generation to generation. They were either described as people who did right in the eyes of the Lord, or as people who did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And so here is Judges chapter 6, when Gideon is about to arrive on the scene. We'll start reading in verse 1. It says this: "Again, the Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight, and so the Lord handed them over to the Midianites for 7 years. So as you can see, this is a time when God's people did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And now it's difficult for us to understand how or why God dealt with his people the way he did in the days of the Old Testament. But here God is essentially saying, fine, right? If you don't want to listen to me, if you don't want to do what I'm telling you is best for you, then this is what's going to happen to you. And so for 7 years, the Midianites rule over the nation of Israel. And they are just awful to all of the Israelites. Absolutely horrible. It's so bad that the Israelites, they would go hide out in caves, that they would go hide out in the mountains just to get away and just to protect themselves. And eventually it got so bad that they cry out to the Lord for help. Right? God's people always did at the end of one of these cycles where they went against what God had asked of them. And the truth is, we do the same thing all the time. We don't necessarily follow God's lead all the time. And then when everything hits the fan, we go, oh, come on, God, why is this happening to me? Please, God, you got to help me. Okay, and so that's what's happening here. And so God sends a message to his people through a prophet. God sends a message to them to let them know that they are in this position because they didn't listen to God. Okay, that's why they're in the position that they are in. But then God decides that he's going to send help. He decides he's going to raise someone up to rescue them. And that someone is Gideon. So let's drop back in to the story in verse 11. Here's what it says. "Then the angel of the Lord came and sat beneath the great tree of Ophrah, which belonged to Joash of the clan of Abiezer. And Gideon, son of Joash, was threshing wheat at the bottom of a wine press to hide the grain from the Midianites." Right? That's how desperate they are. They're hiding food so that the Midianites don't take it away from them. And then here's verse 12. "The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, 'Mighty hero, the Lord is with you. He says, the Lord is with you. And immediately Gideon is like, well, it sure doesn't feel like it, right? He's like, we're over here getting our butts kicked, right? So it sure doesn't feel like the Lord is with us. And so here's how God responds in verse 14. It says, then the Lord turned to him and said, go with the strength that you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you, he says to Gideon. And Gideon, he's like looking around. He's going like, are you talking to me? Right? Gideon's going like, I think you got the wrong person here. He's going, I'm the weakest in my whole tribe of people. I'm the least in my whole entire family. Surely you're not talking about me, God. And I know that feeling so well. I mean, this is the exact feeling I had when God was pushing me to the front of the church planting line. I was thinking like, no way, like you couldn't be talking about me. I'm not the greatest leader. I'm not the right kind of leader. I don't think I'm right for this. I'm going like, surely this is not your plan for me, God. And that's exactly how Gideon is feeling. And so here's what the Lord said to him in verse 16. He said, I will be with you, and you will destroy the Midianites as if you were fighting against one man. Okay, God says, I'm going to use you, Gideon, to rescue all of your people, and it's going to be so, so easy. Gideon, he would be a freaking hero for all the people, right? But he's unsure, right? He doesn't jump in with both feet. He needs more convincing. Here's verse 17. Gideon replied, if you are truly going to help me, show me a sign to prove that it is really the Lord speaking to me. Okay, what does he really want to know? Okay, what's he really asking here? Let's say it all together. God, is that you? Right, he's going, I know this angel here says that he's speaking on your behalf, God, but is it really you? I mean, is this really what you want? In verse 37, he even says, prove it to me, God, right? He wants God to prove it. He wants a sign from God so that he really knows that it is really God speaking to him. So here's what he does. Get a load of this. He says to God, okay, God, he goes, here's what I'm going to do. He says, I'm going to lay out this fleece overnight. And in the morning, he says, if the fleece is wet with dew and the ground is dry, then I know it's you. And it happened. Okay? And so then he does it again. He's going like, okay, you know, good one, God. But this time he says, now make the fleece dry. When I leave it out overnight, make the fleece dry and the ground wet with dew, and then I'll really know that it's you. And guess what? God does it again. Okay? So you see, twice Gideon tests God. But in the end, it's God who tests Gideon. It's God who puts Gideon's faith and the people of Israel's faith to the test. And here's where we learn a great lesson about how it is and where it is that God does and doesn't lead in our lives. The very next verse is now a verse 1 of chapter 7, and here's what it says. So Gideon and his army got up early. All right, Gideon's going like, okay, I mean, this is really God. We're going to do this, right? So Gideon and his army, they got up early, and they went as far as the spring of Herod. And the armies of Midian were camped north of them in the valley near the hill of Moreh. Okay, now pay attention to this. This right here is why I was hoping that you would log on today. Okay, they're ready. The troops are in position. But verse 2 says this. The Lord said to Gideon, you have too many warriors with you. If I let all of you fight the Midianites, the Israelites will boast to me that they saved themselves by their own strength. Okay, God leads them, you know, into this battle, and then they're right on the edge of it. They're just about to step into it, but he says, hold up, you've got too many warriors. He's saying, I know I got you into this mess, and I know I told you that I'd come through for you, but he's saying, if I let all of you fight, then you guys will pat yourself on the back, right? And your faith in you will grow, not your faith in me. Okay, so here's what that says to me very quickly. Here's what that says to me. God doesn't lead us into battles that we can win without him, right? Let me say that again. God doesn't lead us into battles that we think we can win without him, right? God doesn't lead us into battles that we can win without him. God isn't going to lead us to take a step that we can take without him. God isn't going to lead us to take risks that we can manage without him. God isn't going to lead us to climb mountains that we can climb without him, okay? And that's not to say that we can't ever accomplish, you know, something just with the natural talent and ability that we have been given. I'm just saying that when we are at a crossroads, okay, you know, wondering what's next, praying about which way to turn, wondering, you know, how God is leading, God is most likely not leading in the direction that would allow us in even the smallest way to say, yeah, God, I got this one, right? Why don't you just sit this one out? Thanks, but no thanks. I'll handle this one on my own. So God isn't going to lead us to places that we don't need him to be involved. He's not going to lead us into the places where there's even the slightest possibility that we get confused about whose strength it is that makes the difference. And so when it came to Gideon and his men, right, God wanted there to be absolutely no confusion. He wanted their faith and their trust and their confidence to be in him. So here's verse 3. God says to them, therefore, God says to Gideon, he says, therefore, tell the people, whoever is timid or afraid may leave this mountain and go home. And so 22,000 of them went home, leaving only 10,000 who were willing to fight. And so for all of you math experts out there, this means that their total army at the moment was 32,000 men, right? That 22,000 left, and then there was 10,000 still there. So they had an army of 32,000 men. And some studies suggest that the Midianites, who they were going up against in battle, some studies suggest that they had over 100,000 troops, as many as 135,000 actually. So it was already a very tall order. 32,000 versus 135,000. And God says to the 32,000, nah, you've got too many. They're already overmatched by 100,000 troops. And God says, no, you still have more than you need. If you win with 32,000 troops, you'll think that you did it on your own. And so here's what they do. They pare down to 10,000, as we read, right? That they have 10,000 left, and God says, you still got too many, okay? They go from 32,000 to 10,000 against 135,000 still, and God says, no, you've still got too many troops. God says, send even more home. And so eventually they whittled the 32,000 troop army down to get this. They whittled it all down to 300 men. Okay, so now we're 300 versus 135,000. The odds are like 450-1. And God says, okay, yeah, now that's good. You know, God says, okay, that'll be perfect now. Why? Because God isn't going to lead them into a battle that they think they can win on their own. Okay, that they were free to fight, you know, with 32,000 men, but it wouldn't be on account of God's leading anymore, right? Because God's leading was going to require faith to believe. And that's precisely what it is that God wanted. Because now with 300 men, they know full well, right? That they've been stripped down from 32,000 men to 300 men. And now they know full well that they cannot win this battle without God. He's making sure they know you're not going to win this battle unless you put your faith and your trust and your confidence in me. And when you win, he wants them to know, when you win, you'll know exactly who to give the credit to, and your faith will increase and your trust in me will grow. And that's exactly what happens, okay? The 300 men, they snuck up on the Midianite camp of 135,000 troops, one of the Midianites, they had already had a wild dream that God and Gideon were going to defeat them. And so they were already kind of on edge. I mean, they were already a little jumpy. And so all that it took for Gideon and his men, all it took was Gideon and his 300 men to blow their battle horns. And all of the Midianites began to freak out. That's all it took was the blow of a horn, right? All it took was the blow of a trumpet, and all the Midianites are freaking out. They started slinging their swords, fighting with each other, wiping each other out. And those who managed to escape that melee alive, they fled for their lives, okay? 300 troops defeat an army of over 100,000. Midcurrent, let me ask you a question, okay? What is it that would give them the idea? What is it that would give Gideon the idea that 300 men had even the slightest chance at winning this battle, right? What did this battle actually require of Gideon? What did it take for him to be successful? Okay? It wasn't military expertise. It wasn't state-of-the-art weaponry. It wasn't superhuman strength. It wasn't more troops than the bad guys had. Okay? It took faith to believe that God was with them and that God was going to do what he said he would do. And friends, I believe that God is leading you into similar kinds of battles. I believe that God is leading you to take similar kinds of risks. I believe that God is leading you to make similar kind of decisions and choices for you and for your family in your everyday life. Not ones that require brains or brawn or beauty or big bank accounts, right? But ones that take a whole lot of faith to believe. Okay, it's into those unknown, uncertain places that I believe God is leading you and me into every single day. Okay, so when we're standing in front of an opportunity that challenges us, okay, when we have a next step to take in life and career and in family or whatever, and we're wondering if we should take it or not, when we have a decision to make, you know, that doesn't sound easy, and we're trying to figure out what do we do, and we want to know what God has to say about it all, let's learn to ask ourselves, does this take faith to believe? I mean, does this take faith to believe that I could accept a new challenge and God would give me strength to meet it? Does it take faith to believe that God could use little old me to bring about some of the change that this world desperately needs to see? Right? Does it take faith to believe that I could share my faith boldly and courageously with my neighbor or my coworker and God would give me the words to say? Right? Does it take faith to believe that I could be even more generous than I am now and that God would still provide for me? Does it take faith to believe that I could be even more generous with what I have and that I'd still live a life that is so full and so content? Does it take faith to believe that I could wait to have sex until I'm married and my friends wouldn't think that I'm from outer space, or even if they do, it doesn't matter? Does it take faith to believe that? Does it take faith to believe that I could take a risk and take a chance and my God would come through for me? See, I believe that those are the places where God is leading you and me every single day. I think he's calling us out of the boat. He's calling us out onto the battlefields of the battles that we're fighting. And here he's calling us out into a world that desperately needs to see more of God's people full of faith. So Midcurrent, here's what I want to ask you to do today. Take a chance. Take a risk. Take a step. Step up to the plate. And give your faith a chance to grow. Give your faith a chance to increase as you follow God's leading and you follow God's promises into the places where it's going to take faith for you to believe it all. Let me pray. God, Gideon's story is such an inspiration to me, and I hope it's an inspiration to many. God, but the truth is, it's not an isolated event. It's not the only time where the faith of your people grew because they followed your leading. Right? Abraham left his home and his wealth and his family to go to a place that he did not know, all because of the faith that he had in you. Moses was terrified of public speaking, and yet he confronted Pharaoh and led an entire nation of people to freedom, all because of the faith that he had, that he was following your lead. Peter, he walked on water because the faith that he had in Jesus, who called him out of the boat. And God, I'm praying that you would do the same for so many of us. I'm praying that you would call us out of the boat. I'm praying that you would call us out onto life's battlefields. I'm praying that your spirit would lead us, God, to the places where our trust is without borders, where we too would be willing to walk out onto the waters if it is where you are leading us. God, we want to hear your voice. We want to know how it is that you are leading and how it is that you are guiding us. And so as we take time to ask ourselves these questions, God, and I hope we would, I hope we'd learn to build these questions into our everyday life. As we take time to ask ourselves the questions, is this consistent with Scripture? Is this affirmed in community? Is this life-giving? And does this take faith to believe? God, would you reveal more of yourself to us? Would you reveal your promises to us and your plans to us each and every day? And would you give us reasons, God, would you give us opportunities for our faith in you to grow? God, we want to follow your lead. We want to do your will. And we want to see your kingdom come on earth just as it is in heaven. We pray these things in your name. Amen. Hey, thanks so much for joining us today. I hope that you would be ready to tune in back next week, right back here at 9 and 10:30 a.m. It's Father's Day, and we're really excited about that. We thought about raffling off a brand new car for all the dads, or maybe a set of golf clubs, but then we realized that what dads and dudes probably want most is for me to stop talking so that they can start growing. And so what we're going to do next week is we're going to sing a few songs, and I'm going to share a few brief thoughts about what it is that God wants from dads or for dudes, and truthfully what it is that I think God wants from every single one of us. And so I hope that you would tune in right back here at 9 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. for Father's Day at Midcurrent Church. We will see you then.